Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
evening as we move on towards show number 1500. I want to say good evening to everybody. Welcome. As we get ready to do things we do, as the buffet is open and the chefs are about to step in, I'm your host, DJ Honeycomb, Mike Lewis Ingram, and welcome to another edition of Soul Key Radio on the Raw, proudly brought to you by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. With all the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. Radio Reggie in Richmond, Virginia. If you have been seeing the African-American athlete. Out of Detroit, his co-host Michael Roberson out in Oakland, California. The Orlando Ledbetter and Sonic Cheryl Jones in Philadelphia. Pat Freeman, the mighty Oba, out west. Western New York, that is. Rochester, off the heels of his great book, The Art of the Interview, Book One, still selling well on Amazon. Our youngster Travis Singleton apparently got the artistic bent himself and will be coming out with his first effort post-game interview very soon. CEO of Kicks for Grades and trying to do well in the world. We like this brother. Me love him, actually. And looking forward to seeing his first solo effort in that regard. And, of course, the rest of the chefs, when we do what we do. Right now, I got Ryan with me, Radio Reggie, and the bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gray. Gentlemen, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's up, man? And first of all, I hope you're doing well, Mike. Hope you're feeling okay.
Yes, I am.
How
much
you
better.
Feeling?
Thank you all. Mm-hmm. Thank you all for that love. I'm doing
my Michael, before we start, we got to do our intro.
Yes, sir.
For almost two decades, the Black Athlete Sports Network has served as the definitive source for information about the black athlete. Whether it be historical or analytical, BASN has always celebrated the contributions of sport's most innovative and unique being, the black athlete. In 2016, as we relaunch blackathlete.com, look for more of the same from our unique set of writers and historians. We have been and always will be the soul of sports. We are BASN.
We are BASN.
You damn Skippy. What's on your mind, Jay?
My mind is getting ready to explode. It's getting ready to explode. You hear me? We have, let me go west to east. Number one, black athletes at the Olympics of Tokyo.
Yes.
Are invisible. What I mean is this. The first week of the Paralympics,
mm-hmm.
I saw one black athlete at those games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this week is more black because of the track and field. But I'm very concerned with the African-American participation in the Paralympic Games.
Okay.
Number two.
I'm getting the impression that the U.S. Paralympic team is doing better than the U.S. Olympic team.
No. China,
okay.
They either kick our ass.
Oh, China's smoking us. Okay.
It's almost 2-1.
Mm.
Between China and Taiwan,
mm-hmm.
they have over 300 medals.
Damn. Mm. I guess they take this shit seriously. They prepare better.
Yeah, they know.
Okay, what's happened to the Paralympic Games?
Mm-hmm.
I knew this was coming. The war veterans.
Yeah.
The war veterans are taking over the games.
Okay.
What I mean is, back in the old days,
uh-huh.
it used to be cerebral palsy.
Yep.
But in addition to me, all the other cognitive disabilities.
Okay.
Now you have amputees and quads, which come from wars. They're taking over the game now.
So you got war babies taking over the games. That's what you're saying?
No, war amputees.
Oh, war amps. Okay, yeah.
They're taking over the game now.
Is that a bad thing?
Yeah,
I said, is that a bad thing?
Well, no. See, it's to me, it's troubling because it takes away spots for people with cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, MS.
Mm-hmm.
Now all these other guys who are stronger, who are better looking, who can talk straight, are taking over the games.
Oh, so you're saying it cuts into the talent pool. Okay. Maybe,
yeah,
what do you
but
think?
You know, but you know, Gary knows more about than I do, but I change the subject a little bit. This past week, HBCUs, we had ESPN Game Day down in Atlanta.
Yeah, I saw that.
Now, Luke Williams, I hope to have him on tonight, but hope maybe get him on next week. He was down there. Now, see,
okay.
Gary, this is what really hurts us, Gary. They normally have it in the Bender where the Atlanta Falcons play. And before then, because the COVID was so hot and heavy in Florida, they would have to stay them down near Disney World.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they're not having it down there in Florida. Number one, the COVID-19 outbreak. But you got the Orange Blossom Festival that's going to be this weekend.
Right.
Okay. I'm just going to say this. Well, you're going to have a petri of COVID-19 circulating this Saturday with the college football. And we're really concerned.
I am sick and tired of Republican governors doing what they're doing. See, now these guys should be arrested for murder, Harry.
Well, see, Gary, I got to stop you there because you got a lot of business people, not necessarily Republicans, some Dixiecrats in there that are milking from the trough, too. Gary, can I finish? Okay, here's the problem. You got already case in point that a lot of industries are telling employees, if you take the shot, well, you can't work here. Matter of fact, I think ESPN or Fox has told a couple of individuals that if they don't take the shot, they can't come in the studio to do an interview. You had Mr. Jackson, the quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens, and also Cam Newton. I know we're going to talk about that. But when these guys are sitting up here not getting vaccinated and they're getting cut, don't get mad at the Patriots. I heard some people talking about, well, Cam Newton, we know he was cut because he was black. No. In my opinion. In my opinion, number one, the NFL has already said, we're not going to miss no games this year. And just allow me two minutes real quick. A payroll has to be made, and they're going to do it any way necessary. Urban Meyer, the Jaguars, opened his mouth up and inserted his foot when he damn near admitted saying that if protocol will be certain players who don't get vaccinated will be getting cut. We're going to base our decision on that. Already he's been raked over the coals, but we know he told the truth. All I'm saying, gentlemen, is that a lot of these players, including Cam Newton, if your ass don't want to get the shot, and if you want to give up millions of dollars, that's on you. Don't get up mad where not just the NFL, but all corporate entities are telling individuals, either you take the shot or you don't work here. So I know a lot of people want to say that Cam Newton got cut. It was racism because the white boy walked up in there and got a stand ovation. Okay, fine, whatever. But this is a business. And if the kid can't cut it, if he don't make it, guess what? The Patriots will fall on their face. If he makes it, fine. If he don't, that's it. That's just my opinion.
That's exactly right. No, I agree with Reggie here because we, as it was already mentioned, August 31st was cut day. So that meant any football player who's desirous or, you know, experienced finds out his fate. And the rosters get cut to 53. Now, two noted veterans were cut. One was Devontae Freeman, who played for the Atlanta Falcons and a couple of the teams. He was a running back, and he came into the draft in 2014. So he had a seven-year career. That's not bad. He's doing okay. And, of course, we know running backs have a shorter lifespan. So he managed to get into the union. He got his money. He's got his pension. Hopefully he's healthy. All that good shit. God bless him. But now the Cam Newton thing is totally different because it isn't just about race, but there are racial elements to this. Cam Newton.
Bill Belichick made it very clear why Cam Newton was cut.
Why did he say he got cut?
Cam Newton did not get the vaccine as a first thing. Now, if Cam Newton got COVID-19 and he's starting quarterback for the New England Patriots, right?
No, he's not. We know that.
I'm just saying hypothetical here. Hypothetically, right?
Okay.
Hypothetically, Newton is a quarterback for the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
He gets COVID-19. Now he has a 7 to 14 day isolation, right?
True.
Not only that, see, this is where it gets real funky. This is where it gets funky. All of his contacts, his immediate contacts, also get isolated, right? Now, if you're a quarterback, all the quarterbacks get quarantined. Who's gonna go back to your team? This is why they did what they did.
Because it's worse than that.
If they go to season and he gets COVID-19, they're not no quarterback whatsoever for 2 weeks.
Well, look, it's worse than that.
Can't do that.
No, you have to reformat this and understand on top of everything else. If Cam Newton is anti-vaxxer, and that's a big if, then he knew his fate was twisted in the wind.
He
just can't say that we got rid of him because he wasn't super Negro, although there was some meat in that sandwich. The bottom line is this.
I would agree with that. But you had two people out here in San Francisco who are not vaccinated and playing.
That's because of how the politics are shaping in their favor. But we can't ignore the fact that if Cam thought he can get away with not vaccinating himself, he's losing his mind. Now, we know this was a number one pick 10 years ago, and the fact that he's in 10 years is significant. There are not that many number one draft picks or first-round draft pick quarterbacks that lasted that long. But everyone that did played significantly. We all know he was MVP in 2015, Super Bowl, made all-pro teams, all that shit. He proved everybody wrong, in my humble. But the NFL does not owe you a job. And we have to keep thinking that. You know, they can take whoever the fuck they want. They can take Cowboy Reggie as our starting quarterback because we said that. We don't need anything else to justify it. You know?
Thank you.
And we add all of this up to understand that it is the image of what Cam Newton represents is at heart here.
But this goes right back. This goes right back to Colin Kaepernick. Once again, we go right back to Colin Kaepernick.
You know, just saying double advocate, I can say what Teddy Bridgewater is goddamn time around telling. I mean, come on now, Jameson Winston. I mean, we want to play that card, and again, ain't nothing concerned about me. But let me finish, Gary. All I'm saying is that my issue is that when these players, and again, Lamar Jackson, who has had COVID not once but twice, Cam Newton, who has had COVID not once but twice, and they don't get vaccinated, don't get mad when you get cut.
I am not defending Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton is an idiot for not getting vaccinated. Look, as a disabled person, I'm getting vaccinated. I am a vulnerable population. I ain't been out of this thing.
Thank
and
you. You
have some people, like my friend, up in Northern California, who refuses to take the vaccine. I said, okay, you ain't going to my house.
Yes, man. And look, me being a cancer survivor, I still have leukemia. You know, my numbers are normal, but still, I had to get the shot. And look, I'm telling you, I'm ready, guys. I'm taking it very seriously, but not going to turn it down. Well, I'm saying that I might not be covering some football games this year because of the COVID-19 and the Delta virus. And I'm taking it seriously, not going to the other cancer.
Going to a baseball game. Football game until 2022.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Well,
forget about baseball and football for now. Let's just look at the actual physical cutting of Cam and the letting go. You know, we know Rivera, his old coach, is in Washington. Now, it might make sense that he might get picked up off the waiver wire and go there, but the other quarterback that was at Carolina, Will Allen, is the starting quarterback. So maybe not. But there are teams that we know he sure as shit would be better than anything the Raiders have at starting quarterback or the Jets or at least four or five other teams. My point is, name me 32 quarterbacks that are better than Cam Newton. You can't. And because of that, we got to wonder why he was put in this trick bag situation in the first place.
They did not like Number one, he put it on himself by not getting vaccinated. That's the first thing. Now, I don't care. Look. Medically, the numbers are there. Medically, if you look at all the results, it tells you, go get vaccinated, fool. So, I have no sympathy for him. Because all you gotta do is read the paper and read the medical reports, you can see, and that's what I was saying with him.
But you know what? I can't dismiss that simply because I've seen situations where players will say, "Well, what about this and what about that?" Now we've had these three white players come out, and I think a couple of quarterbacks talking about their anti-vaxxers, and nobody said shit about them, you know. And as a matter of fact, I think one was Eric Fromm or whoever it was from the kids from Georgia who was a backup for the Bills. You know, he ain't going to be in here anymore.
Bosa out here, drug is back.
Right. Well, anyway, they're cutting these guys because they're cuttable. This is different. Cam was a league MVP. And as the professor stated, when he was in conspiracy mode, something funky happened in that Super Bowl that graphically changed Cam Newton's persona. And we may never get the answer to that. And I'm inclined to agree with Fred's hypothesis of that from when he first brought it up. My point is that here is the guy who is the poster. He's 6'5". You can't say nothing about his height. He's 260 pounds. You can't say he's slight of build or any of that other shit. He's quick with the mind. He's produced the statistics. He's got the win and loss record that says, I've been in this league. I know what I'm doing. Leave me the fuck alone and let me do my thing. But now it's a different story because of the Belichick factor. Belichick is supposed to be the resident super genius. And if you can't play for him, supposedly you can't play for anybody because he's all wise and all that shit. Yoda would tell him to kiss his ass, but I digress. But because Belichick has this thing set up like it does, Cam Cam went for losing. Now, it could have been just the case of the other kid beating him out, and he would have been a backup. No harm in that. Best man plays. We believe in that. But they let him go all the way. And there's a significant thing with this. And, Gary, you know better because of the guy who was writing shit about him in the 2011 draft.
That's
you
right.
know Nolan Nowaki was writing this heinous shit, saying yep. things about him and his supposed personality that had nothing the fuck to do with football. And
yep.
they allowed it. None of these sports writers stood up for Cam and said, what the fuck are you doing? And then they reward this cocksucker with a job in the fucking league.
Yep.
And so all Cam does is he keeps on stroking. He's playing. He's winning. And then 2015, he has it all together. And he's so good that they're trying to make spurious arguments about who should be the MVP. And they couldn't touch him. Cam was the best thing going that year. And then they try to criticize him about the dabbing. You know, when he was doing a little dab after touchdown and giving the ball to kids.
Yep.
Some women's group tried to make an issue out of that horse shit. Because
yep.
he was being super Negro. But now we know the bloom is off the rose, literally. He's got 10 years in. He's not old. But we know that Cam has had situations where, well, they didn't give him the benefit of the doubt. Like he took a serious roughing the passer penalty and didn't get a call. And he goes to the referee, and the ref says, you haven't been in the league long enough to get that call. I'm like, what? So they already have this thing about this nobody likes Goliath mentality that goes with Cam Newton. They try to beat him down to the white meat. And they didn't care, and the referees didn't care because like, oh, he's a big guy. He can take it. That's bullshit. But that's where we're at. He gets hurt. As he's recovering from the hurt, you know, time moves on in terms of the NFL. And now he's at a crossroads, coming into his 10th season. Now, that's not old. They talk about Tom Brady. Boy, Tom Brady can play at 45 years old. Drew Brees can play until he's 40. He's 30. Cam Newton's 31 years old. But they've already started the spin to imply he's on the downward spiral because he got cut.
Michael,
they know.
The guy, the guy in San Francisco. The guy in
right,
Philadelphia. They get the later. The guys admit, okay, we can have a black quarterback now. Until they get to that point, this is the game
they won't
place.
Do it. They won't do it. They won't do it. They can't stop quarterbacks from coming in and making rosters short of them saying this position is a white position, you're not going to play it, so we're not even going to draft you. No, they can't do that. They can't do the blatant shit anymore. But what they can do is take pieces of your life away by putting you up against inferior talent and having them go at it. Now, everything in New England said the white boy won the job, and he won the job because he was willing to play Belichick's style of ball and do what he needed to do from the pocket, et cetera, et cetera. Cam may have adjusted somewhat, but playing Belichick ball really isn't his style, considering the way he came in the league and how he was playing in the league. So they already know that. And they won't give him credit for the fact that he had probably one of the worst wide receiver corps in NFL recent history.
And
he still won seven games with that group.
The defense won't shit.
Yeah, the team wasn't shit, and Cam made chicken salad out of chicken. You know what? By having them go 7-9, that should have been a 3-12 team, a 3-13 team. Yeah,
half team without the cause of COVID.
So, to Reggie's point, the NFL is not going to let anything slide. Anything having to do with COVID, they are putting the drawers on that, and it's going to be a wrap. Nothing's going to happen. And they're going to make sure that the players understand this, because the Players Association, which we know has no real teeth at all, they've got to abide by this. The NFL will not accept a forfeit. I doubt there'll be one, but that's how serious they are. They're not going to let a game get called because of COVID. So anybody in the league, yeah, anybody in the league has reservations about getting vaccine, they'll eventually pay a price depending on what position they play, how loud their voice is, and how important they are.
They'll be unemployed. It's going to happen. Michael, they cannot afford to have people do this. Well, I mean,
the most important position on the football field this year will be the team doctor. There's no doubt about that. He's got to make sure, she's got to make sure that everybody is healthy and ready to be out there on the field. Because if they don't, they put themselves at risk. If somebody slips through and they show up with COVID, where they affect the team to such a degree that it hampers their chance of being effective on game day, there will be huge cash repercussions about this. And I don't mean in terms of the front office. I mean in terms of the betting.
Yeah.
Now we're going to see these guys look on the rocks for anything they can find that would give them an edge to think, well, if I bet against Washington Sunday, it'll be because six guys got COVID and nobody really knew about it until the last week. Remember? The changes will come out on Wednesday. So on Wednesday, we're supposed to know if Washington is favored by 3 over the Giants, but nobody realizes that they ended up with six people who will not be able to perform due to COVID, that changes the whole structure. And it will have Vegas and New Jersey and anywhere else where you got gaming, they're going to go batshit. So they won't know just exactly when they can pull the trigger on something and say, okay, this is the line. Everybody's going to be waiting on with bated breath to the last minute, and then they'll make their selections.
The NBA just banned a ban on unvaccinated players. The Brooklyn Nets, the New York Knicks, the Golden State Warriors, and LA Lakers. You will need a vaccine to play home games this coming season.
Well, see, that puts an extra factor in the game.
This is plausible. See, every single sport is going to be doing this. This is over. Baseball got away with it this year. But you watch this year.
I don't disagree, Gary. We got the professor in the mix. But you got the factor that teams know they have to be vaccinated. However one's personal feelings may be about getting vaxxed, it's going to cause problems because if the guy's a star, and he decides he don't want to get vaxxed, you got a problem. And these problems, hold on.
These problems are going to be very, very simple. And there's no question about this. If you see the statistics, if you see the numbers, say X, Y, and Z, what's wrong with you? And D, you have people, and this is right, this is right, lose it. You have people in this country that are telling me, don't tell me what to do.
You're not going to be in that position.
Back in 1951, 52, 53, we had polio, right? Someone said, okay, that's it. Everybody get a polio shot. Polio was gone in 8 years. It was gone. What? Right. Everybody got a shot.
No, they got the shot or they got the sugar cube. I had the sugar cube. I think a lot of school kids did too.
These fools with COVID-19, this will be here forever because they won't do right.
Well,
man.
Hold on. Don't call them fools because they believe the warp shit that they do. This is a bigger problem that was exacerbated by the fact that when it hit, everybody played it cheap. And then when it came and hit hard and people started dying, all of a sudden, oh, well, I better pay attention to that. If 600,000 motherfuckers die, don't remind you that there's a danger factor to this disease, then we don't know what to tell you. And as far as getting vaccinated on the part of the NBA is concerned, people are forgetting about which shot do you take and what side effects come from it. So if Stephon Curry gets a Moderna shot, and he ends up physically unable to perform because of the reaction of the shot, don't you think a syndicate of gamblers will be aware of that? And they'll know? Okay, hold on. Because like I'm saying, there's other shit going on here. There's just too much money. Somebody will say, we can lay a huge wad of cash on the game, knowing that maybe Steph Curry is not going to be at his very best because he had to take that vaccination shot. And this caused travel factors, being on the road, et cetera, et cetera. There's a whole lot of stuff going on.
If you take the shot before the season begins, or the I am exacerbated because this could be into the mud. Everybody got a job before the season started.
Well, you can't blame the players on that. That's league policy. The leagues decide what they do. So the players are the last ones to get whatever input come in. So you can't blame the players altogether on this. But, Professor, what say you on this?
What I'm saying is these problems could be limited if you have before the season started.
If, but they're past if. The money is being counted now. So we're way past if. That's why I'm saying, where did we go? Professor, can you hear us? And good evening.
Yes, I can hear you. I'm really sick of this because I think we have enough evidence on the vaccines as well as all the other components in play here. We got grown men and women out here talking about their rights and all that other yang while kids are falling over from being exposed to them. And see, when it comes to a professional player, they get some of the best medical care on this earth.
Yeah,
but
they do.
We have too many people floating around here now who are talking about their rights and
That's right.
And we have a couple of situations locally where they have traced the exposure back to somebody who showed up, who's one of them people, I ain't going to wear no mask.
Yep.
You can't tell me what to do. And
that's right.
They're walking around, you know, at this point, they're still walking around like nothing happened.
Yeah,
one of the cases, they walked around like nothing happened for a few days. Then all of a sudden, guess what? They got put in a hospital. They're in the hospital now.
Mm-hmm.
They're on a ventilator, just like the little kid they put on the ventilator.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you got we had, you know, there was a report a couple of days ago that there was a teacher who went to school.
Yes.
No mask. No vaccination.
As he was sick.
You see, that's the kind of callousness we got to get away from, because this is something that can be handled if you handle it. You know, I just get the biggest kick in the world out of these people. You can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me what to do. But then you ask them one simple question. So do you sit on your seat belts, or you lock them behind the seat?
Red.
I wear my seat belt. Well,
red.
I have been to accidents where people got thrown out of the car.
Yeah,
I've been to accidents where people got stuck in a car and burned alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the odds are that you come out. Because if you get thrown out of a car, most likely you ain't going to live.
You ain't going to live. You dead.
And see, it goes back to something we've talked about here before, and that is you got too many people running around with a bunch of entrees that don't know what the hell they're talking about. And remember, you know, it's sad to go this way, but I'm gonna be morbid tonight, because one of the places that was damaged down there in Louisiana with the storm yesterday was one of the churches where this pastor a few months ago talked about how they were gonna sing and praise the Lord and all this kind of stuff in a beautiful church. Well, guess what? Most of the church has been blown away now.
My
point is, he didn't get to see it because two and a half weeks after he made his big proclamation about how he was going to have church no matter what, and the government couldn't tell him what to do. About 2 weeks after that, he was on life support.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, they were holding his dead. They had held his funeral along with 14 or 15 others from that same congregation. And see, it takes a little common sense, but as they say, common sense ain't too common no more. And you got that right.
All this stuff could have been narrowed down. If Knucklehead 2 years ago, Knucklehead said, look, all could have vaccinated right now. No, he didn't do that. He didn't do that.
Now
here we are 2 years later with a
massive problem. How much has set y'all back with the Pembroke game being canceled at Winston this week?
Excuse me?
The Pembroke game against Winston, the y'all game that was canceled this week. How much did that set y'all back?
I have no idea.
But still,
when
overall,
did they officially call that, Fred?
But they're not going to replay that game, though, are they?
I doubt
Fred,
it.
Fred, when did they call that? Oh, that was Monday. They called that game Monday.
They called it Monday.
Yeah.
Okay.
ACC.com and also Eastern Autumn called it Monday.
Here's the deal. Pembroke State is located in Robeson County. It has one of the lowest vaccination rates in North and South Carolina. You got the Native Americans who don't trust nobody. You got the blacks who don't trust the Native Americans. Native Americans don't like the blacks. And then neither one of them selects the white folk. And then the white folks are who they're following. And the sad thing is, we got the same thing. We got people here who are saying, "Oh, we want the children to make a choice." Well, the children are making a choice because when have you ever seen a bunch of kids get together and stay apart?
Thank you.
And to show you how crazy it is, remember the last time you and your buddy got mad and you wanted to fight each other and y'all wasn't speaking? How long did that last?
Right.
You know, one good fart from one of you and you're laughing and going on about your business. So, and see, it's not even realistic. And they say, well, let the parents make the call. Well, the parents are making the call. It's called call 911, come get my sick child before he gets he can't breathe at all.
You know, you and Gary make the right call here on this because the chain reaction effect that they're not talking about is really what bothers me. You go back to that incident at school. That teacher gets kids sick. If one of those kids gets really sick and dies, we're in a legal ramification. And that's where this shit will start to snowball. It's not that long ago, everybody. 600,000 people are dead. They ain't here. And why ain't they here? Because they caught COVID, and COVID caught them so badly that their lives expired from it. So we know the leagues and everything that Reggie talked about earlier have set this up. They would rather make that money than have the games be canceled. But if there is a cancellation, they've already figured out how much it's going to cost them. And I mean literally how much it's going to cost them, because that same paywall must be met whether the game is played or not. So as we sift through the rest of this, we need to understand further whatever the league is going to do to tighten up their own thing here and make sure that everybody's going to be healthy. There are some people that are going to disagree with it. And as like Reggie said, there's 30 people who may be in significant positions or not who say they're not going to get vaccines. They're not going to play. They will find a way to release their ass. They get too big a risk.
Hey, Professor, I want to get your thoughts on Cam Newton and Lamar Jackson and a couple other players that don't want to get vaccinated. And to me, okay, Lamar Jackson, you're starting the quarterback of the Ravens. You're in a contract negotiation. My thing is, just my thing, I can't count on you to be available, and I can't count on you to affect the team. So what's your stand on the question about players getting vaccinated?
We're back to the seatbelt scenario. You take flu shots. You take other shots. Why not take this shot?
Mm-hmm. Because it became a political football.
So, I'm sorry, Gary. The genie's out of the bottle, Gary. They got to do this. This is not a question of, it's my personal rights. Fine. You don't want to do it, you're not going to play football in the National Football League. That's what they're telling everybody. You know, they don't have a way around this, and the Players Association is as weak a union as there ever is going to be. So if there is going to be a fight, the players will lose.
Well, Mike, not only, you know, this goes beyond the NFL, the NBA, other. There are rules for everything.
Yeah.
There are rules for everything. So if you're not going to abide by the rule, that's why you got cops. That's why they put you out. We haven't known what was on Cam Newton's mind and how long he's been in the league. 10 years, whatever. We see him going in dressed one way and coming out dressed another way. Or the same.
That's right.
And we go, what the hell is he thinking? Okay, you got mega dollars on the line. And see, Yeah, there are some instances where things go severely wrong. Like I told you all before.
Mm-hmm.
I never had dry skin before 1979. 1979, I took the flu shot because Sears paid for it, and
mm-hmm.
I went and got one. Through my insurance, and I had never had dry skin in my life. I've had it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
There's no real way to trace it back to see whether or not it came from that incident or not, but that's just how it went down. But it's not like
exactly.
something happened that was astronomical
mm-hmm.
where my arm fell off or I got
yep.
deathly sick and all this kind of stuff. And to be honest,
mm-hmm.
I think I've had, and that has been, what, 40 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
I've had the flu twice in 40 years. We've had swine, pig,
that's right,
pork chops,
Spanish,
chicken,
yep. mm-hmm.
French, whatever.
Yep,
we've had all of
mm-hmm.
that. I've had the flu twice.
Yeah,
one time I got it during the CIAA.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably where I first met Reggie. He gave it
okay.
to me. But then
what a French one.
But then when you go back and think about it, though, the risk factors that are involved here
mm-hmm.
are not, they're not that big as opposed to going through without a shot.
Right.
And then take a classic example. Today's my sister's
mm-hmm.
birthday. Okay.
Happy birthday.
She has had visitors all day, but the ones
mm-hmm.
that she can't have,
right,
or wasn't supposed to have, but she's had her shot.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
she said, let the grandkids come on in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The grandkids are like 5 and 6, I think, so they can't even
okay.
have a shot. She's
right.
more of a risk to them than they are to her.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Now, the adults have done their due diligence and all that kind of stuff. But I say,
mm-hmm.
you see, the craziness is when you know better and you won't do better. And see,
yes.
these people know better.
That's a good way of putting it.
Look at the downside.
Mm-hmm.
What's the last number they gave out of people who died? 600,000.
600,000.
That was when they stopped counting before the vaccine.
That's
see,
right. There's
right,
probably at least 700,000 they haven't
okay.
counted. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
If I got sick right now, do you
mm-hmm.
realize here we have I think it's 5 full service hospitals in
yep.
this circle around Fayetteville.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know I can't
yep.
go to the hospital?
Damn.
Why? Because
yeah.
there are no beds.
Holy
we
shit!
Have,
that's right.
We have people basically stacked in the halls.
Wow.
There's
that is
no
so
electric
right.
It's like a friend of mine is a doctor and he has a small operating room in his office
mm-hmm.
that he could do minor stuff. And he rented
right.
out to people, to a surgeon to do elective surgery. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't do the surgery at the hospital because the hospital, the space set aside for either elective surgery or
yeah.
for recovery are all gone. There is no
mm-hmm.
place to put them.
Exactly. That's
and
why with
that,
the front office.
Did you see that jerk meet governor of Texas?
Yes. That
and,
idiot.
And that yahoo from Florida?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is that going to the game? Is that going to the game set? Heck no.
Mm-mm. No. That's exactly right. We got Patrick Ferrar in the mix as well. Patrick, can you hear us?
I'm out, Michael. Michael, this past week, 26 kids, 26 children are in the hospital because this poor teacher who was sick went to work. Why did he go to work? Because he needed the money to pay the rent.
Because he was a selfish fuck who didn't care about their lives. That's really the issue.
What's up, Patrick?
Guys, how you feeling tonight? How you feeling tonight, guys?
How's that?
Oh, good, Patrick. Patrick is actually talking to us from the IR as well. He's on the IR. We are glad he is here. My brother, we are talking about COVID and how it's going to affect the sports leagues and where it's going to leave us. Give us the corporate view on this, please.
The corporate view is best reflected by what, you know, the people in the front office of NFL is talking about. And also, mm-hmm. it's going to be interesting that there's no other way to, you know, another way to put it, there's no need to comment on, to elaborate any further. That's what they're going to do. The NBA just came out with something today regarding what's going to be the protocol for the coming season. And I understand. And at this point, I respect folks' freedoms, but when your freedom infringes upon me and how we can get things done, I have no problem if you don't want to be vaccinated. That's okay. But I'm with Roger Goodell. If you get somebody sick, your team's going to suffer. I got to pay the bill. And when you start taking money out of people's mouths because you miss a game, missing baby daddy's payments, missing mortgage payments, that teammate, like last time I talked to you, that teammate you thought was a teammate ain't going to be your teammate mm-hmm. that much longer because he's going to say, either them or me. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. they kind of did that in the halfway thing with Cam today because Cam ain't vaccinated. By the way, let me holler at you. Don't he have 7 kids? Hey, move right along.
Yes, he does.
He needs to be vaccinated.
Shots fired. So what's the latest with the Giants, man? It seems like everybody on the hot seat there, from the quarterback, the GM, the coach. Everybody might be looking for a job next year.
In terms of the Giants, matter of fact, I'm doing a show on them this week. You know, I think everybody wants to – well, first of all, but they haven't had a winning season in about 8 years. The last seven and the last nine years, they've had double digit losses.
It's like the Baltimore Orioles.
Oh yeah. So you know, and I hate to say it, I'll talk about this a little later on. I'm tired of people putting all the pressure on the young kid quarterback from the Giants. Well, if you don't come through this year, we get rid of him. Well, wait a minute. Is it his fault that Gettle Money ain't got no line?
Ain't got no running back.
Is that his fault? And then I tell you something. Here's all you need to know about the Giants and also maybe something that's reflective of the Gettleman that folks are talking about. He has three veteran linemen coming into camp. Within 2 days, he had three veteran linemen all retired.
Damn.
All of them retired.
They see something that nobody's talking about. They feel their vulnerability.
That's a lot. So you got three veterans, and all of a sudden, they retired? Come on.
Yeah.
You got to stay and you got to get paid. But if the job situation is the fact that they put too much question to the quarterback because they want to make him something that he's not quite ready to deal with, rather than build around him and build around
you
him
got that right.
to play their strength. That's the part.
Yeah, and it's amazing to me how the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, I know Fessler won't hear this, the brothers don't have a job rebuilding that team.
Tremendous job. And
they don't even want to give this brother no credit at all, the main media.
When have you seen a brother in the league that does get credit? Come on now.
I'm not trying to be funny
when I say that. If you're in a position – if they don't expect you. Like, nobody realized that the guy who was responsible for finding all that talent for the Giants during their heyday was black. You know,
yeah.
It was only when the team started to slip that they put the black ass out there and exposed them. So we know they do this type of stuff.
Well, we know Nolan, the scout for the Pittsburgh Steelers, for all them HBCU players, and it's not damn time. But look, as he makes his chances off his ancestor, then he gets in the Hall of Fame. I think this is it. You couldn't even enjoy it. He would have had a hell of a story there. Yeah. Coach Nunn should have been in there years ago. That was just great.
Unless he messed up and can't pick the players that the Proverbs doesn't want, all of a sudden he can't be general manager. I mean, quite frankly, let us be real. The general manager of New York Giants should be Reddick on
ESPN.
Yep,
from ESPN.
They gave the job to Gettleman because Gettleman did a decent job because he drafted Cam in North Carolina. But from what I know, what I heard, there was a general feeling that a lot of guys didn't like Gettleman down there either. Anyway, but Gettleman is one of the boys in that circle that Myra said, okay, we let him go down there. Hopefully, he was thinking he could duplicate what he did in North Carolina. Well, he can't because he's an old style, out of tune, out of touch with players, and for which he's going to do things he's going to do things standard in terms of putting the team together.
Yeah.
You need some new directions, some new ideas. If they'd have got Lewis Reddick, it'd have been a different team. And Lewis Reddick never says anything about it, except for this week.
No.
He went
he's
the
class
on the Giants. Lewis Reddick went off on the Giants. He said the Giants' problem is the fact that it's been 3 years now, and they got the same problem since the quarterback first got there. Now, and you want to put all the pressure on him, you want to evaluate him, that he's a problem, that he's at the franchise quarterback you thought he's going to be, and then also, they got about 6-7 players hurt already. The season ain't starting yet.
Yeah. So what are they going to do now?
It's all in the damn translation. You translate Cam Newton's record, he is 75-63-1 as a starter. He's made all-pro 3 times. He was a league MVP. Now, you bring up somebody like Matthew Stafford and his mediocre ass, don't talk about him like he's the second coming, and he's lost 12 fucking games than he is as a player, as a starter. But Cam's got to have something wrong with that super Negro factor. You must be super Negro. And this is where I give Fred credit, because going into that Super Bowl, Fred, I swear to God, I have a feeling, and if all of us I know have seen the longest yard, the original one, at least once. They had that conversation in the shower. They told Cam to do something, and Cam couldn't handle it or didn't want to handle it. And afterwards, he just kind of spaced out after that. Does Andy meet that sandwich, Fred?
That scenario still seems to ring true, because it was either that or something like that that went down.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you remember, he was so moved by losing, and then there were some suspicious scenarios happening on the field that caused him to lose. That at some point in time, it does seem like he broke. And the only thing he could do from that point forward was get up and leave. Why? We don't know. And we will probably never know, because he probably will never say so. And he was probably well paid to keep his mouth shut.
Well,
that he never stopped him before. But my point is,
I don't know.
Somehow went down, and in the process, he ended up losing. And once he lost, he couldn't handle it.
I will say this. Before he got hurt last year, he was balling. He was still balling. What happened and since that time, some physical problems. Also think the fact that he has to maintain, trying to get himself back together to where he can play that well. In a system that's structured not for his skills, but they try to judge his skills.
Exactly.
With the fact that him not having the right team that he had last year, and they bring in Matt Jones to fit him to their system that works better for them. And also we all know how it looks for the demographic which that team is in and where they're at. So
One of the things you got to continue to look at when you look at that is the fact that it's not just just name a team. These white boys got this idea. We're gonna run this kind of offense.
There you go.
We're gonna run this kind of defense.
There you go.
That's right.
You know.
Yep.
I just had to explain to someone what part of what happened to Stewart in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh, the OC wanted him to be a drop back quarterback. When everybody and his third cousin knew he ain't no drop back quarterback.
And don't be one.
Yep.
And to be honest, very few black guys are drop back quarterbacks, especially when their lines suck. Now they're gonna drop back, but they're gonna move from
not to other.
It ain't gonna be no, you know, ain't gonna be no spot at 3, 5, or 7 yards. It's gonna be more like get in, you know, get back there, see what's coming, and move around, and see.
And, running.
And unfortunately, too many ignorant white boys can't understand that.
And Fred,
let me throw something, Fred,
behind that. Fred, you can relate to this because you know about it. Funny how they didn't say that about Fran Talkington.
Come on. Fran Talkington, Greg Landry, Bobby Douglas, that's exactly right.
Now, there y'all go being all emotional and everything, bringing out them facts. How dare you? There y'all go.
Well, you know, there's some meat in that sandwich which Patrick just brought up because Talkington ran all over the damn place.
All over the place.
And
he's still running.
Talkington ran on the snap of the ball.
Fred, you're 100% correct.
Oh, Lord.
You're 100% correct. And led the league for years in passing.
That's right.
Y'all remember Joe Cat?
Nobody ever said that Tarkenton was undisciplined. Scrambling Fran, you got a plan, all the other old horse shit.
What about that little bitch, Doug Flutie? I know he ran his ass all over the place. And they say shit about his
Doug had to move to an open spot because initially, remember, he couldn't see over nobody's head, so he had to go where there's a gap in the line.
He had to throw in a lane, so he had to get to an area where there was a clean lane open. That's exactly right. But see, that's why Russell is so effective, because Russell's overhead stance allows him to throw through a lane. He can find a lane without having to run 50 yards in one direction and find space. That's what he's very good at, and they never talk about it because it's a black quarterback doing this. And that's why.
The problem is, who's telling the story? And Professor Witt always said, if I have option to tell the story, I can tell it. I mean, for example, when John B. McClendon told Dean Smith the Four Corners, I had Negroes looking at me, cussing me out, saying, man, you crazy. It's amazing how they're brainwashed. They cannot believe a black man taught this so-called legend. How dare you sit there and destroy their dream? Unfucking real.
That's the microcosm of exactly what we're looking at here.
Yes, sir.
See,
yes, sir.
You're in Virginia, where he ain't from Virginia. He didn't play. He just went up to Virginia a couple times a year. Once a year, because at that time, while he was in the league, they didn't play Virginia Tech. Well, I live in North Kakalaki, as Mike liked to say, where the average Negro is brainwashed to think that he ain't nothing but blue but Carolina blue.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Right now they're pushing his book, the new Bible on college basketball. Little Dark Phil Ford went out and bought a copy and gave it to some old white guy talking about, you know, this is what it's all about, all that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. But had John McClendon not sat down with one Dean Smith and showed him how the four corners work, then you probably wouldn't know who Dean Smith is unless he was at somewhere like Elon. Or he might be selling insurance.
His ass is going to get fired.
Mike, I'm going to throw something in, Mike. You know, talking about quarterbacks, there was a comment today, yesterday, before I came into hospital. I heard a comment by Marcellus Wiley. Marcellus Wiley was saying that because Cam got cut, and he said the reasons why he got cut was because of the fact that he didn't fit Belichick's system, and also that Cam didn't follow protocol, which is another reason why I think they cut him. That Cam was still a quarterback in the NFL. I said, wait a minute, Marcellus. Wait, Marcellus. You started with Buffalo. He went to San Diego, and he went to Jacksonville. So he pointed out that Kurt Warner set behind Eli Manning, and he said that Cam can't sit behind nobody. I said, wait a minute. All right, Cam, I'm not starting right now. He can't go to another team and do well. I said, wait a minute. All them bum-ass quarterbacks we got in the league,
Let's be politically correct. All them dumbass, overpaid quarterbacks in the league.
We got guys like Colt McCoy still in the league.
Oh, my God.
Colt McCoy still
in the league. But he's about 50 years old.
Colt Patrick of Washington has played for 9 teams. He's still in the league.
Thank
you. Jared Gilbert is still in the league. Will we name some more players? Please, let Cam get himself together, put things together, and somebody should pick him up unless they're stupid.
They went out of their way to
savage Cam because the game where he played with the other white boy, Ted Johnson, former linebacker, said, well, let's pump the brakes. Cam didn't play all that great, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they were diminishing what the guy did. And having seen some bad Eagle football over the years with Donovan McNabb, I know Donovan succeeded with one of the worst wide receiver corps ever put down on paper.
Cam won seven games with
a group of wide receivers that was just as bad, if not worse.
Mike, do better than that. Randall Cunningham. What did Randall Cunningham work with the Eagles? Oh, my God.
And Mike, here's what's worse. And the Patriots, you talk about what was happening underneath to where they wanted to push Cam out and push Jones up. Remember the name? Scott Zolak played for.
That's right.
For,
I remember that fool.
From 1992 to 1999, he was actually dogging Cam Newton, saying, you know, he's too flashy. He needs to, you know, cut the dancing out. I'm going, wait a minute, Scott. All the welfare checks you got in the NFL this year, you have the nerve to talk about him?
Thank you. Stealing from motherfuckers. As Fred would say, in a practical standpoint, when Cam is playing, you don't see receivers running sixes and sevens, intermediate routes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was throwing a lot of checkdowns because these people couldn't fucking get open. I'm just talking about receivers beating their man one-on-one, not about any match protection or any of that other horse shit. you know. But see, they don't talk about that. They look every opportunity to plan and when they have the chance. That's not football.
Hey,
that's propaganda.
Hey, Patrick, I can tell you the subject, Patrick, but give me the real scoop. Why my man Max Kellerman get promoted and pushed out the door at the same time? What's the real
Max,
scoop,
give me, you know,
give me the
you
scoop.
Know, I know Max is a good dude. But
he's
you know, sometimes
boy. I like
you know,
he's
but,
white boy.
Yeah, Max is a nice boy. But sometimes Max's intellect doesn't match up with the practicality and common sense of things that should be easily qualified and taught.
That's right.
Because Max does teach at Columbia now. Max teaches at Columbia University. You can't be no C student teaching at Columbia.
You got to be heavy coming to Columbia.
Yeah. But again, having that intellectual platitude. That's not always equal to common sense issues. He talked about
this
stuff. I'm going, Max, too many of the names. But you can't see this. This guy's, wait a minute, Max. The guy can't play. What are you talking about? Now, Stephen A.
I'm sorry,
Patrick.
That shit was funny. What you said, wait a minute, can't play.
You know? Can flex some more because they gave him some flexing money and power. So you're going to see very few come in there like Michael Irvin and some other people, which might be interesting to give some other folks
hell
a chance to have
not
a different personality and different opinions. Because not that Max was standard, but sometimes he was so far left, he drove my boy, I call him Deacon Perkins. he just crazy. What are you talking about, man? but he's gonna be okay. Reggie's gonna be okay. He's gonna replace Zubin in the morning show with Keyshawn and Jay Williams because Zubin has a diabetic problem, so he can't get up. He can't get up. He has the vacant show. Plus, Max gonna have an afternoon show at 2 o'clock. Man,
he's
gonna be
getting promoted.
He's gonna be okay. Plus, he has his boxing show.
He won't be hurting. He won't be hurting. The payroll will definitely include him. There's no question about that.
They say bye.
He's doing it.
In 72 hours.
Yes,
sir. The college football season will begin in
yes,
earnest.
Lord.
The first big money game is Georgia and Clemson.
COVID-19 gathering.
Mike, I got to correct you. First big money game is tomorrow night, Buckeyes against Minnesota. Because if anybody game is 13-14, boy, don't mess around. I've already said it. They said I was being blasphemous, but some Ohio State people know. I said, if we don't play well, one of these first two games, we're going to lose because we got Minnesota this week and Oregon next week. We could lose one of those games. And that's only because of the fact. That's only because it's like, why? Because out of 20 players who were only 7 seniors and 13 upperclassmen, that's 20 players in the last 2 years have been drafted from going to draft in the NFL. That's why
that's true.
That could happen.
Yeah,
and they got 45 guys who are freshmen and sophomores going to Minnesota. Minnesota is no joke. So that Clemson game and Georgia game is important because that game if Clemson wins that game, they go to the national championship. Why? Because they playing sisters of blind. You know, St. Anthony's of Peanutville, they ain't playing nobody, man. They won't win the championship.
Shit, ain't
that's
kidding.
True.
And they say North Carolina going to have a competition. They can forget that. North Carolina is going to have a football field.
Patrick, did they say anything about attendance restrictions?
So far, so good. No, I haven't heard anything yet. I don't know if Ohio State's going. They're going to expect 101,000.
Oh my God!
I'm gonna tell you, them folks in Ohio, man, they're going crazy. If they're fighting at the bit. I mean, folks have started tell you, folks have already started getting stuff prepared for next Wednesday night to try to get on campus mm-hmm. to get a spot. It's that bad. That's how bad they want it. Oregon's coming to Ohio State. But, right. Mike, I want to say this, Mike, Jim College football. Please. I want to give a shout-out to ESPN and what they did last week for Alcorn and NC Central.
Central.
I know they did a real nice mm-hmm. job of producing mm-hmm. that game. They did a flash spot on a threat, which was good. But the whole mm-hmm. point was,
anyway.
The whole point is, it was a good.
I knew somebody was gonna say something.
But you know, as nice as it was and as satisfying as it was, it's a good game too. Here's my issue: all mm-hmm. that exposure they got. What yep. is going to happen next? What are they going to do to capture all that visual, all that impact, all that exposure? Mm-hmm. Last year? What are the commissioners of HBCU's athletic departments do? What are they going to do next?
Thank you. Howard plays Richmond this week. Delaware State plays Bowie. And, of course, you got South Carolina State and Alabama A&M. And mm-hmm. Cardin Boehner, professor, favorite player and coach, he's already looking at his chops already. They got mm-hmm. between him and Dion, they got the personality to carry the league and some other mm-hmm. coaches. But the sad thing about it, I mean, okay, Patrick, real quick, with the podcast and the technology we have now, it seems mm-hmm. like we're trying to get there, but it seems like we're stuck in neutral.
Mm. I think the thought is, like we've been saying, somebody in these schools and the commission, I'll tell you, the commissioners, I don't know if they're doing that. They're doing it in some form or some fashion. Have people mm-hmm. that have established some kind of marketing aspect with every team. How massive it is based upon the school. But at that point, I would hope there was some kind of plan. Okay, we've got this. What can we do next to attach out something to get more exposure for whatever we might do in the future? That's what I'm saying. How it works out, I don't know. But that's, you know, mm-hmm. I told my boy who was at Delaware State, because he saw the game, he liked what went off. I said, that's good. That's good, Terry. But now what's going to be the next step? That's all.
Yeah.
Well, the next question then is, how prepared are the black schools to stream?
All that's necessary.
Well, you probably know this, Patrick. They're probably more and better equipped to do it than they think. It's just mm-hmm. they want to go out and hire people to do these kinds of things.
Yes.
But what they're missing is you got students who are not getting the practical experience that they should, should have.
Because they'll go.
It's just like if you look at the CIAA and the MEAC usually use Stan Luden, this white guy. Stan, does a great job. But how is it with all these black schools, with all these communications and mass communications and these other departments out there, how is it from all those students who have come through there over the last 30 years, you cannot find two folks, and I'm sure the way most communication departments are there, even at HBCUs, there's some white mm-hmm. folks involved. And either black
and
white.
There should
be some people who are from HBCUs who can deliver a game.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it can be done because ESPN found two of them.
It's just important. Apple has donated $30 million to HBCUs worldwide. That was just important to come over the TV. So hopefully the technology they can give can move forward. But $30 million might not sound like much.
$30 million divided by 100 rounds out to what?
Oh, yep. Well, so much of that. Thank you, Professor. Just took the pen out of that bubble.
Yeah. You know,
I rest my case.
Professor,
yeah.
The money.
All the people telling the story. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mike, forget
yep.
that question.
Okay.
Let's look at a more practical question. How much
okay.
money
no,
have
on,
HBCU
man.
Spent? How much money has HBCU spent with Apple on Apple equipment over the
yep.
years?
Oh, yep. my mm. God.
There
too
you
much.
Go.
Yep.
Too much.
And see,
wait,
and we ain't talking about, we ain't talking about nothing in no trees. We talking about Apple.
Yeah. Here's the second part of that. The second part of that is this. Like I said before, it's great that ESPN gave them that kind of exposure. It's great
yeah.
that they gave them the platform. I thought it was wonderful. You know, all positives. But
yeah.
you know something? Here's something that once that happened, they should have done. Now, ESPN is a school in New Jersey, Monmouth University, which is a private school.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
At Monmouth University, guess what they have? They have a class of ESPN brought in by ESPN people as a class for that school. Now,
mm-hmm.
you mean to tell
okay.
me as much exposure they got and that HBCU schools and the money they made off advertising, you mean one of them presidents can go and say, look here, someplace like Hampton or Howard
mm-hmm.
or even Grambling
yeah,
with a good communications department, let's see
yeah,
if they can establish the ESPN class down here. Because
yeah.
once one school gets an ESPN class, you know what the other's going to say? Well, how can we get
here's
involved?
Ours.
And
that's
right.
Where that's signed up. Where that's signed up.
Once they hear yeah. that an HBCU school has an ESPN class, you think Fox ain't going to find some school?
Come
oh,
on.
You know they got me.
It's a whole different spin on communications, no doubt. No doubt.
Mm-hmm. Well, Patrick, once again, you hit a home run. And I'll just say I don't think most of them are ready for it because the leaders at most HBCUs still treat athletics as extracurricular activity. They don't see it
mm-hmm.
as a business.
Hey, Gary, you hear that, Gary?
Because they don't see it as a sports entertainment business, you know, because it's just, well, you know, they're just out there playing ball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If they're just out there playing ball, how are you going to – and let's just throw out Ohio State. Let's throw out USC. All of
the
about $100 grand a year, every other week, right?
Right.
Is that an extracurricular activity? Are people coming to see an extracurricular activity, or are they coming to see football? Are they paying $20 a parked car? Or are they paying $100 to get in the game or whatever it may be? Are they paying $4 a piece for a soda?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's extracurricular activities are not things that generate that kind of money. That's business.
Fred, I'm
yeah.
a social manager, Fred. I'm a social manager. And the rest of y'all, social manager.
Mm-hmm.
Give ESPN credit for doing a lot of promotional clips to promote the season. And every clip I saw promoting the upcoming this year in basketball, they showed at least 4 to 5 clips of an HBCU school.
Yeah.
The band, if we look at it differently. Every time I told them, promote college football season's coming. They got it, one HBCU school, two HBCU school. Okay, that's fine. I know they wanted to kind of lead up to the game in Cincinnati, but they got them in there, and they're being shown 5-6 times an hour. I'm going, wait a minute. If you got that, you mean to tell me we can't extend this to something else? Yeah.
Thank you.
But you got to see what
and the problem with that would be, again, they think of it. They don't see it as business. They don't even a lot of our private school don't understand the ramification of generating money. You got you know, it's all about cash flow. You got to be you got to go beyond just the cash flows from students paying their tuition fees and all that kind of stuff. Because at these bigger schools, they don't look. They don't charge the regular, what do you call it, activity fee, because they know they can't get no kids out of state. I mean, they you know, it's like a Duke. There's this lottery system they use for tickets, because you know, it's like a friend of mine's daughter was going to go to Duke, and when she found out she couldn't get tickets to go to the game automatically, and because see, there are people out there who have this idea that Cameron Indoor Stadium is this big place.
It ain't
big as Carmichael Auditorium. You know, listen, and Patrick, you probably know this.
Yep.
The certifiable name for Cameron Indoor Stadium is it's a dump.
Mm-hmm.
The only great thing about it is electronics like as in the scoreboard and all that kind of stuff in the floor. The seating is crap. The press box is literally a box.
Look at the camera shot.
and see, remember when you most of the camera shots at a Cameron Indoor Stadium is straight down
the
floor,
ceiling.
Straight from the side.
The ceiling.
They don't swing up.
Within that, like I said before, Fred, your point in terms about is the business. I understand that. We've said that before. But what those clips were showing about HBCU schools and other schools promoting their football season was a culture. They're talking about culture, and like you said, Fred, the schools themselves are making a business. I said you combine the two, that's how you make it happen.
Yeah,
I mean the culture, unfortunately, is remember we got PhDs who run these schools. And in a lot of cases, because I know, to her credit, we have a PhD who's our AD now. But there's sometimes there's something that comes out of her mouth, make me wonder, PhD in what? and since we're gonna give her a pass for this past year because there wasn't nothing she could do about that. They did what they could do.
Mm-hmm.
I understand all that. But okay, now we're playing live. And see, in case you don't know, we done had one game canceled because of COVID with the other team. So
you can't make it up.
Because it's not a conference game, so it's going to be, again, we're overlooking the business side of this. We're going to look at the other side, whatever that is, and work with it. It's not helping anything.
I want to ask everybody on the thread this. Do you truly believe this weekend they're going to be so effective with their BS that they're going to make everybody forget about everything that led up to this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, folks going out to the tailgates, they can't wait to get drunk and be stupid. Good game.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Let's be real.
Listen.
I'm telling you.
Hey, Patrick, listen to this side of things. When you look at the fact, okay, we know this should be a money generating thing, us kind of stuff, right? But there are people who are talking about going to the Orange Blossom, right? They're gonna make it the biggest it ever been, which they ain't. But anyway, there's this speculation that's out there that there are going to be more people in the parking lot tailgating, which is if you've ever been to a Florida A&M game, there's some people who couldn't tell you. The only thing they know is that that the band is orange and green because they see him march in. They don't go inside. And they don't understand that cost that costs some money, because even if you pay to tailgate, what have you done? Because TV rights counts what? Butts in the seat, butts watching TV. And if although now it is more practical to watch games locally, the unfortunate thing is, you a lot of time when you're tailgating, you don't get counted.
Fred, your point's well taken. If you notice the shots they took last week during the game, they're very few wide shots. Mm-hmm. And nobody took – and usually what you do – well, of course, they didn't have to do that. They did the pregame with both bands and both people. But usually what they do is show at least one or two shots of outside the stadium during the game. They do that on Saturday.
You talking about the game in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Wasn't nobody there.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that way, you got what, a 70-some-thousand seat stadium?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they say there were 15,000 people there.
Mm-hmm.
That rounds out to what? 75,000.
Minus
55,000. No, I'm thinking that means you had 20% participation or 20% audience.
Yeah.
Audience. Mm-hmm. That's a crying thing. And see, I don't know what Alcorn's population is in the Atlanta area, but from North Carolina Central to Atlanta, you just drop down 85 for 3.5 hours. You're there.
About 350-something miles from Central to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
They feel full from Prairie View. Alcorn.
To go back to the old. And Alcorn's not that far away, but go back to that old commercial. Where's the beef? Where's the people in the seat?
About 15,000 at the game.
That's one of the areas our schools got to raise their participation, because they got to get more people in the seats.
Mm-hmm.
And see, they don't get away with it the way some of these white schools do, because they can be held to this, and we know that. And because of that, we got to get people in this. We got to put people in the seats. We got to get people watching.
Yeah, Mike, I want to throw something in, right, Mike, that we talked about that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going back to my alma mater. All right, we know what the image and likeness and likeness thing has done to open the doors for sponsors of people. But yesterday a deal was signed. There's a young man that comes out of Texas named Quinn. Quinn Ewings. He's a top drop back quarterback in the country last year. He had 5 credits to graduate from high school. So usually he come back finish that last year and go to school in January to a college. He said he wasn't going to do that. He went straight to Ohio State. Originally he signed with University of Texas. Because of all the campaigning and recruiting, because the kid's like 6'4", he can toss the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, eventually he decommitted from Texas, and now he signed with Ohio State because of his admiration for and wants to be coached under Ryan Day. But before he left Texas, and one of the reasons he left Texas is this: in Texas, high school kids can't take anything from NRL unless if you go to college, the college has to approve it. He says, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Came to Ohio State. He got a beverage deal, but they didn't know the money. But he recently got a deal this week, and the deal he signed between the beverage company and the deal he signed for this truck that he's going to be driving around, the total amount he's going to get is $1.4 million. Now,
that's what I'm talking about.
Now, Now, but here's a trick now. Here's a trick.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you got to watch out for. And I'm really interested to see how this is going to work. If a freshman comes in, Wade Norton, by the way, making $1.4 million, all right, how is that going to affect the upperclassmen from busting their ass?
Number two. Who's going to block for them? There you go.
And number two, they got C.J. Stroud starting the quarterback. C.J. better play well fast, because if he don't play well fast, they're going to get what they want. Because he fits the image of that Saturday afternoon hero, 6'4", white boy,
right.
Blonde.
He's
going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
How that's going,
like that
how that's going to affect teams. That's going to be the interesting thing.
Oh, yeah. They love shit like that. And, you know, in the image and the world of NIL now, that's what they're going to go for. It reminds me of that movie Johnny B. Good, where they had Anthony Michael Hall playing this white boy that everybody wanted and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. There are going to be certain people that push up to the front. It won't matter what's done. They're going to operate with them just like the NFL would operate with any free agent. They're going to woo them.
Yeah.
They're going to offer them deals. It's no different. And now we've gone from, oh, how dare they? The kids are getting an education. That's what they should be getting. And now it's like, oh, yeah,
next.
The first athlete is trying to do what's best for us. Hey, Patrick,
how much money do you think Ohio State going to rake in their first home game this year?
It could pay the national debt.
Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, Patrick went in half right.
I didn't say Blackwater, I said Ohio State.
Whatever comes out of that first game that Ohio State has at home, that's going to pay the budget for every black conference in the league, in the country. The money from that one game.
And let me tell you this. Here's another element to what I just said. The Ken Quinn Owens, he just got there last week because they had – remember, he's supposed to be still in high school now. All right?
Yeah.
But only because he had five credits to go, they let it go. But the person that you want to watch out for this year, keep this name in mind. Ty Henderson is running back. This boy is going to light the field up. I want to see what kind of deal he gets.
He's already proven
to his teammates that he got people shaking already playing against him. He's like 5'11", about 40 pounds.
Dang.
So you got some quarterback comes in from out of state, from wherever he came from, Texas, gets $1.5 million. Now I'm a running back. I'm setting the team on fire. What am I getting? All the ramifications that folks have to deal with. I don't care what school you're at.
Gentlemen, has this played out like you imagined it would, that the big schools would go out of their way to court certain players? Has it really switched over, or there's still some people hesitant and want to stick to the old ways?
It depends on what sport you're talking about. I mean, look at basketball.
Yeah, I'm
going to
say basketball.
Union.
You're right. One kid just did right. The kid that Ebony Banks, one of the top three recruits in the country.
Yeah,
he's going to play with Penny Hardaway with Memphis just for a year.
Okay.
But he wants that structure before he takes the next step, which to me is smart. Uh-huh. Now, I'm not going to say if a high school student has the opportunity to get the money and he needs it, I'm not saying don't take it. But longevity might mean that
the hardship
that year of getting yourself acclimated to what you think you want to do. As opposed to just jumping on getting some money and with some change around your neck. I mean, take care of your family as much as you can, but we want longevity.
Right.
So I admire the kid. I'm going to be here for a year. I'm going to learn what I can learn, and if I feel I'm comfortable going, I'm going. But there's some kids are going to do that, and they're going to be working at McDonald's the next week.
You got that,
that's right.
Mike, I bring up something I brought up before. Remember, it's the NCAA that says whether or not they're eligible or not.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
We have the pot watching the hen house.
That's right.
Yeah.
And guess what happens?
Guess who gonna be scrutinized most about the money?
HBCUs.
Thank you very much.
They're gonna put the hammer down. They're gonna bring the hammer down
on
us.
Well, see, that was the point I was making in talking about how important the compliance officer is gonna be. He or she is gonna be their capologist. They're gonna have to watch every penny because they know the first thing that the NCAA will do, they'll come in and gangster their ass. Yes.
At most HBCUs, there is no department. There's no department for that. There's a person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So somebody got to follow.
They're going to have to be extra vigilant because they know they'll go after them.
They can't be that vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, and I know from just watching over the years what goes into that. Yes, black schools get caught more than white schools because they have fewer people doing the job. Like I think Carolina has a department. Picture it this way. The University of North Carolina has, you just do a round number, 100 football players. For instance, A&T has 100 football players. Okay? A&T has a person who may have an assistant who handles all, you know, all the eligibility situations for the institution.
Right.
Okay? That same person has to do everything with maybe a possible help. At the University of North Carolina, they have a department for football that probably has four people in it, at least. They have one, possibly two. They have one, possibly two for basketball. And remember, the women's team has their own. The men's team has their own. They have a person for that. They have a person for that for golf.
Yeah.
They got, what, 8 or 9 golfers? They got maybe 7 tennis players, men, 7 tennis players, women. They share the same person. But, you know, and see those are the kind of situations that HBCU's got to improve on because every time I've gone through a situation where you have an HBCU get caught up in something, 9 times out of 10 they get caught up because lack of personnel. You have a person doing the job of a department. And it's the same thing. Somebody was asking about SID offices. The last time I remember a really well-staffed SID office when John Holley was at Norfolk State, John showed up at the tournament and assumed the seat at the end of the table. His staff, which was usually a group of interns and communication students and all those kind of folks, along with people working on their master's in sports media. Okay.
Right.
He would show up with like 5 or 6 people to work. They did everything from bring him dinner to bring papers for him to review before they sent out announcements and whatnot.
Yeah, talking about kissing ass. Damn, let's kiss some ass right there. Jeez.
I mean, hey, he had a president who endorsed what he wanted to do, and this was the crew he had for basketball. This did not include the crew he had that went that year with the wrestling team, and some women's sport. So, you know, he was allowed to do that kind of thing, and a number of his people have gone on. In fact, 2 or 3 of them today are working at the professional level, 1 in the NBA and 2 in football. But see, you have to have that kind of foresight when it comes to the whole spectrum of athletics.
Yeah, and a spirit of compliance as well.
Mike, I'm gonna throw something else up, Mike.
we got a week before the NFL season, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I have to watch what I do. I have to watch various sports network shows so I can get a grip of what they're doing, what to do and what
sure.
not to do.
Mm-hmm.
But since March, it's been going on, and I'm at the point now I can't take but more than 5 minutes. I got to turn them off, even though I have to watch them to get prepared
yeah.
for what I get to do. And the reason mm-hmm. I'm saying that, all I have to say is I am so tired. Whether it's
mm-hmm.
ESPN or Fox, these shows, they're talking
it's
about the
so
same
formulated.
Four or five topics. The
yep.
same four
same
or five
formula.
Topics.
Yes,
the
indeed.
Same four or five players. If they're
mm-hmm.
talking about Brady, they're talking about of Aaron Rodgers, or they're talking about
mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott, I'm going, why are we talking about them? What,
see,
you mean, this, it's killing me. But I also know why they're talking about one of the reasons why.
This is retro.
Go on, Mike.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Oh, this is retro mouse. This is what they started with in 79. This formulaic bullshit that they would serve the folks. And because it was new then, folks ate it up. Now, it's like rancid leftover shit that was out there in the icebox and then took outside and left out for weeks. And they expect people to enjoy it just as much. And they can't even call it leftovers.
Ridiculous.
We can't even dismiss the fact that this is rehashed shit. And every station has that same menu laid out. It's like, this does not work for me. And that's why this matters when we talk about the NFL, the NBA, or any other subject, because we're putting out legit information. I don't want to sit there and talk about we're going to be criticizing folks all show long, but no. You got to think, all right, what's the premise behind cutting people? Yes, folks are going to lose jobs. Some may get them back being scooped up off the waiver wires. But the Cam Newton thing is significant because he was the lead. He was a black image. Remember, he was Superman. He scored that touchdown, pulled his shirt ass off, the chest exposed. They hated him for that. They wanted his black ass broken down, and they did everything they could to do it. They hit him harder. He shrugged it off. And then after a while, the hits started to take their toll. I know, hey, 6'5", 250, but still, he hit. And now he's at the point where he's the invisible man. What's going to happen to him?
Here's the problem, Mike. We have 41 of the teams. There are some good stories
mm-hmm.
going on in players that we should be focusing on to make the
right.
to make the game interesting. But,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, part of that is, like I said before, is about betting. Because they want the money to go with certain players in order to it's giving advertising on certain players without them paying for it. Because, you know,
sure.
if I hear one more story about Dak Prescott, hey, why? Why are you talking about this?
exactly. Mm-hmm.
What's that? That's him wiping his ass this week. So why?
Thank you. Exactly. And you know, Jerry Jones still is annoyed with the fact that he may have to pay that Negro all that money, and that's the one thing he doesn't want to do. But you know, we don't forget about that, and his little redneck. But that's the truth. And that's a sidebar that surely could have been brought under consideration. But you know the mouse isn't going to do that kind of shit. You know, they made their bones a long time ago when they got in bed with the NFL and that show Playmakers got canceled. If you ever find a copy of that show or if you ever try to get it on YouTube or anything else, it was about as anti-NFL as you would have imagined. And as soon as they became partners, that shit was gone. Waldo couldn't find any copies of Playmakers anywhere. That's how bad they wanted to make sure that this thing was taken care of. So the league
now,
is, yes.
How many are you talking about Russell Wilson?
Well, see, we don't want to talk about Russell Wilson because he's black. And I'm not trying to be funny, but just look at what's going on. See, they can say something about Jackson. They can say something about other quarterbacks in the league, Jalen Hurts, will he do anything else?
You mean to tell me
Russell,
out of 31 teams in that? This is an interesting story about 31 quarterbacks.
That's right. But see, Russell is different because that young man was focused from the time he came in. That $10 million that the Seahawks spent to get rid of Matt Flynn, whatever the fuck his name was, that was the best money they ever spent. That's right.
Yeah.
That's the best money they ever spent. It got him a ring. Should have got him two, but, you know, Marshawn Lynch knows the truth about that. Probably won't say nothing until after he's long gone.
Yeah.
Having said all that, though,
Russell's
a pillar of the community. Yes. He's a pillar of the community. He's definitely an alpha male. He makes sure everybody does what they're supposed to do. He got paid. Everybody got mad, but they got quiet, too, because he beat everybody. You know?
Mm.
And since he's been in the league, since he's been in the league, no one has won more games than Russell Wilson. Nobody, not even Brady. So they know this one is not to be fucked with. Now, they'll still question Jackson, and they'll still say things about other black quarterbacks because they don't have the numbers. Russell has the numbers. You can't argue with facts. And he's got those facts out there. And whatever he does from here on in, he knows it's honest. He's a Hall of Famer. They know it, and he knows it. Is Cam Newton a Hall of Famer?
But,
he should be.
But.
He should be.
But.
Yeah, but. It's always that damn but. You know, Donovan McNabb should be a Hall of Famer. But. Yeah, this,
that ain't
going to
happen. That ain't
going to
happen.
But see, Russell is the only one that they can't say but to. He's in. He knows it. They know it. And because he stays quiet and humble and all that other stuff, they don't have to worry about him. They don't have to worry about Russell pulling the ass off his chest when he scores a touchdown. They have the image of it. You know, like I said, it was like the C.J. Memphis character in a soldier story. You know, he was so naturally gifted. The Sarge couldn't stand the fact that he was just so good at what he did, and he was so charismatic. You know, the Sarge wanted him dead. That's how fucked up it was. The NFL, to a great degree, wants the careers of many of these brothers to die before it gets off the vine. And the rare few exceptions who dodge that bullet. But make no bones about it. The same kind of propaganda is going on in the National Football League in 2021 than it was in 1921. That's not supposed to happen. And we're going to see that as the field generals get a full dose of this season and we keep track of their progress. Because ultimately, it is going to be about not just the payload, not just the payroll, but who's going to get paid because they're playing the position better than anybody else.
Which leads me to the next comment, Mike. This week in God's football, the betting line.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know the betting lines from last week and this week are two different betting lines.
Yeah.
Particularly with college football. And amazing now, some guys who I know, who I do know a guy that a story I've been going with since I was a kid. Who's, you know, like I said, his father was one of the sons of Italy. He still has it. Still is. But he bets on the time. And the money that they're getting ready to spend on college football this weekend, it's interesting. they've got to the pros yet. That's on college football. That they're going to spend.
Yeah. Rick, are you there?
Right here.
Reggie, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Because of Cam and his connection with his former coach, has there been a lot of talk in Washington about maybe Cam sliding up and being a member of the team?
No.
No.
Just stop it right now. He ain't coming to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about doubt.
Well, we have
I hope not.
So coming up the bullpen, we have our brother Tony McClain in the mix. T-Mac, what's going on?
What's up, T? I apologize for my lateness.
There you go.
Here we go.
Hey, wait, here it is. What is your reason for being late, young man?
I have sinned.
Do you have your mask on, young man? Do you have your mask on?
His notes probably said Epstein's mom.
yes. Is that two P's or one? Is that two P's or one in Epstein? I forget.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Now, when Gary comes back, he's back. All right, now, G, you've been listening to this over the last few minutes and whatnot. Now, we know college football starting this weekend. Can you say that your area is a college area, that people get excited about college football?
No.
Okay.
They're more basketball than football.
Uh-huh. Well, that sort of, I guess, Mike, I guess that sort of explains why the Pac-12 decided to say yes, but no, thousand times, man.
They backed up off of the
I think it's because it's so far,
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think they looked at those road trips and they said, oh, can't do this. But, instead of the Baskin-Robbins conference, it's probably just going to wind up being, 24, maybe like Smith Brothers or something like that, maybe. So
I like that.
Smith Brothers conference. Okay.
We can work with that. But in all seriousness, now we've got college and pro sniffing on our back. We know in the casinos the odds are going to sniff even stronger. This weekend, we got Clemson and Georgia. And we're going to see the effect of what happens when a team that wants to be or wants to consider themselves in the game moves and how much it actually does cost them. Now, I don't know what the line is. I didn't go peek yet, but the money spent will be the difference.
I think with the college games, you see them do the over. You see most people play the over a little bit more.
Yeah. I think that's right. Unless it's
has the makings of a ridiculous blowout, you're going to try to play the over. You're going to try to play the over, especially if it's the old WAC conference. Any game with BYU and whoever, you were guaranteed at least 4 hours and 90 points.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, by the way, to piggyback on the whole conference thing, apparently now the next move the Big 12 is trying to make is to go after BYU.
What? Holy shit.
Yeah.
I can do that. We know the Mormons are Trump type with a lot of cash. And they already made the move that anybody who walks on gets a scholarship if they make the team.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically Notre Dame fans with funny hats.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
End of the day, and they have just as much cash, I guess, if you want to get right down to it. Look, of all the independents, if you've got a chance to get either BYU or UConn, who are you going to pick?
Come on.
Yeah.
Okay, Lynn, you just brought up just a question. Now I'm wondering, when teams are going on the road, are their insurance policies upgraded to adjust to possible maladies that could afflict them in travel?
I would think that, and Patrick.
Not necessarily.
I would think that this way. I'm thinking like if you're part of the five families, so to speak, you've got some cachet. Now, unfortunately for some of the black colleges, it might not be quite as much. I mean, they may have something, but let's put it this way. Like a Notre Dame or Alabama, they're going to be, they're going to have 60, 70 people, and that's not even counting the players.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait.
if talking about traveling, Mike, I mean, that's one of the reasons that the Power Five schools are the Power Five schools, because most, 99% of the states travel well. Like I told you before, in the Big Ten, the three best traveling schools are Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State. And Penn State, last I checked, it could have changed that time, in the last 15 years, they had the largest convoy of any college in the country.
I agree. They have nothing to fuck to do out there. Exactly.
That's true, too. And I saw it live and living color when it came to MetLife Stadium at the time of Giant Stadium, and they played one of the last college football games for the first year of college football on ABC. And matter of fact, it was the quarterback they was pushing as the next Heisman Trophy winner before he threw a daggone pass. Hackenberg.
Yeah.
We got Hackenberg.
Emphasis on Hack.
Hack. He got that
right. Hack is
right. And the game was Saturday. They started pulling in and the folks at over at the MetLife let them come in starting Wednesday night. They have like 75 daggone those long vans.
RVs.
RVs. Oh, man, going, what kind of stuff is this? I've never seen anything like it. But
the only crazier folks are the NASCAR folks, and see it's an all week thing for them because they'll get there on Monday or Tuesday, and you got the qualifying and then the trials they may have like a small race on a Saturday, and then Sunday it's quote unquote game day. And I've been now in some instances the big races on a Saturday, depending on what have you. But yeah, that's now see, it's going to be interesting to see, especially down south, with all the COVID craziness, they're still going to get a lot of crowd. There's going to be some places where it's not going to be completely full, because I think there's going to be some folks that are just going to be like, hey, I'm still not ready yet. But for the most part, put it this way. If the preseason football games are any indication, you're probably looking at 80% capacity in most places.
Wow.
They'll survive.
Oh, after last year, look, man, they'll kiss you in the mouth if you come early.
Speaking of swapping seminal fluids, Gary, what do you think of Cam Newton starting for your Las Vegas Raiders?
Never happened.
If you had your GM hat on, where would be the best fit for Cam?
Well, I would love for Cam to be a Raider, but we have John Gruden. John Gruden.
Oh, heck no.
John Gruden is not like black quarterbacks.
We know this.
Years ago.
We know this. We saw what he did with Sean. And with Tampa Bay. So, yes, we Sean King. Thank you. With Tampa Bay. So, I'll put it to the rest of the thread. Where would be the best fit for Cam? Oh, Cam.
He might as well go back to North to Charlotte I got a glimpse of the quarterback they got.
That boy Darnold ain't shit. I'm telling you right now.
Mike. See, that's why I keep you around. You think you still can survive in the sex. My mother said it was better to be profound than profane. That was profanely profound.
family profile.
Mm-hmm.
but Fred, here's the problem, Fred. I think it'd be a good idea, but that coach's ego has been exploded by that $70 million contract. That
yep.
I don't think that coach. He wants the face of the organization to be him. He don't want it to be him. Say that now.
That's true. That's true.
He don't.
I would agree.
He didn't want to be him. That's why he let him go in the first place. But
mm-hmm.
see,
yeah, you're right.
And part of that's part coach has part ownership.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust him any further than I can fit.
Yeah, you're right.
Gentlemen, let's be real here. We need more black GMs.
Yeah.
The black GM of the New York Giants that is in the Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
Got him the truth, Gary.
Even the black GM for the Giants wasn't allowed to take a black quarterback. They made that clear. The Giants are very conservative.
Michael, what I'm saying is this.
Mm-hmm.
If you have leadership, black leadership, you will get black leadership on the field. If you have black leadership in the office, you ain't going to have black leadership on the field.
True. That's quite evident, Gary. I mean, I was telling Gary today, I was telling Mike earlier today, my credentials on the whole again for this year, and if they put WBLS, which is the classic radio station in New York, if they put their beat reporters to cover the games, they didn't give him a credential. They didn't give New York Amsterdam News, which is a legendary publication for almost 100 years.
Right.
They didn't get a credential.
Yep.
What's that telling you? Now that's just the media, but that's reflective all the way up to the daggone. And one of the reasons why I, first of all, they had a person in charge of that department to give out credentials. All
credentials.
Over the years I've been involved, and also also one thing I admire about the black GM is the fact that when you were on the field, he saw you prior to the game. He always made sure you're all right. You get what you need, man. Okay.
Mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
kind of encouraged what you need. You know. As a matter of fact, I got one of the best interviews that I got with him. He gave me a 15-minute interview that I put in my show. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's the kind of stuff you need. But if you ain't got the kind of support, and particularly now with the major entities picking up spots, it's going to be rough. But it goes back to your point, Gary. If you ain't got nobody in charge to help promote and to make space for you, it ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, Tom, since you weren't here during most of this, where would be the best place for Cam?
Well, believe it or not, the first place that I heard that he may be going is Arlington.
No shit.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's not going there.
It's Jerry didn't want to pay. See, the only reason why there'd be a possibility he would go there is because they ain't got to pay him. He would just lose minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? You know
mm-hmm.
they got a black president of that squad, of that team now.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a former player? Who's upgraded organization? You know, and you got you got Fitzpatrick and you got Cam. Who you want?
well Rivera,
too many for Jerry on the setting.
Mm-hmm. his former coach already tipped his hand by going with Colin McPherson for the as the starter for the DC.
Mm-hmm.
But in a good way, I'll say this: if Deshaun gets traded to wherever,
mm-hmm.
Houston would not be a bad falling ground for him.
He could start in Houston and again piss off Tyrod Taylor because he gets bumped again. But know, it seems to have been that brother's pedigree. And every time he gets somewhere, somebody just don't stick a needle in him for fuck's sake, because he's been through enough.
Yeah, really.
This way.
If I heard that Tyrod Taylor didn't want to get the vaccine, I'd be like, I don't believe him, but I understand.
I don't blame him.
I'm sure he do understand.
You ain't kidding. All right, last before we get to final thoughts, gentlemen. Like I said, college football's been here. Whoever's going to be here. The betting patterns will change. Patrick, we've been here in Jersey together and seen how Jersey went from nowhere to just more money was bet in Jersey than any other
state. More money.
More money. Do you think that trend will continue?
Hell yes.
Patrick, your voice changed.
These fools are, these guys I know are so get up and betting, man.
Okay.
You know, they might sacrifice their mortgage and their wives, you know, for betting, man.
Yeah. No joke.
These guys I got, because I'm, then first I go, stick the white guys in, though. They are geared up. I mean, they got the book on DraftKings and they can't find the Bible in the home, man. Come on, you're talking about, man.
That's right.
They are geared up, man.
Over or under 3 weeks before the first betting scandal? Over or under three?
Over three. They have to get ready before they do it. I mean, over three.
Okay, over three. Anybody else?
I think there's going to be more colleges because again, it's mm-hmm. a more action. And at the end of the day, that's what drives the betters, more action, more games, you know, and all of that. Because there's only so much you can do with the NFL. Although, as they keep having these incestuous relationships with these places, it could change. But I think strictly because there's just more games. I mean, look, there was a game tonight. There's a bunch of games tomorrow. There'll be games Friday. And then, oh, by the way, there's going to be Saturday. A handful of games on Sunday. Matter of fact, actually, Sunday actually looks more attractive than Saturday, especially for the ACC side, because you've got Grambling State versus Tennessee State. And what's the other? I forget the other matchup. But yeah, the Sunday games one, the three Sunday HBCU games, I'd rather watch them than the NFL, to be quite honest.
And yeah. you know something, Mike, on along those lines, he said it in terms of college betting. The guy I told you I go to see when I was a kid, his family's under the sense of Italy. He was so mad Sunday morning because he said stuff about this particular school and team that I always went to church on Sunday because I wanted to pray for him. when Connecticut lost Sunday last Saturday, he was going off. He was going off. I said they couldn't score a freaking point. Because he has a
you know what?
He said things about.
May I speak, Patrick? May I speak for the entire? May I speak for the entire state of Connecticut by saying, serves you right. Serves you right for thinking they were going to score a point. Yeah, freaking idiot.
And Tony, what is wrong up there, man? What is wrong up there?
Here's the thing. When they made their BCS Bowl a few years back, they woke up. Oh shit, that's really Oklahoma on the other side of the on Southern line.
Let me see.
But see, think about this. Now, Now, remember, Edsel couldn't even get out of the post-game press conference before signing his contract with Maryland.
I heard
yeah.
that.
Didn't
yeah,
even get
that.
Back home for the trip back. And you
yeah.
bring him and you, and you and you bring him
back? Yeah.
And you bring him back? I mean,
you know,
look,
that's so messed up.
He didn't win in Maryland?
Huh?
Does that infer that he or indicate that he didn't win in Maryland?
Yeah.
Well,
Fred,
if he had had two behinds, he would have been bringing two. If he would have had both of his, he would have had his head in both of the behinds coming back home. I'll just say that.
You're right about that, Tony. But the one that takes the cake is Kelly when he was the coach at Cincinnati.
Oh, shit.
He literally told the team at halftime he had accepted the job at Notre Dame. It's been a slice. I'll see you cold motherfuckers later. And nobody said anything about it. It was okay. It was just business as usual.
And guess what?
Yeah, he's no Bobby Petrino though.
Yeah. Oh God.
But guess what happened this week? Now, that's another game. My boy Gary lost money on. With UCLA and Hawaii, because he had the over, and he missed by 5 points because Hawaii didn't score. But the trick is for you, if Chip, you gonna see what Chip is this week because you know Chip played this week, LSU.
Oh shit!
I could go over in that game. I could go over in that game because the points they ran up on Hawaii. It ain't gonna be like that and LSU's got a nice squad coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they better say aloha to the notion that they're gonna beat LSU. But I digress.
Yeah, UCLA is gonna rude awakening this weekend.
Most definitely.
We are at final thoughts. So I want to thank everybody for putting some wisdom into the mix, some great discourse, and some good food in the pot. I'm going to get to everybody. Reggie, where are you? Where you be? Are you there, Reggie?
We didn't
have that. He's riding range, acting strange.
What is it about ham sandwiches at 11:30 Eastern time? I don't get it. I don't care.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't eat ham no more, but it used to be with toast and mustard and some American cheese. Oh, yeah.
There you go. Especially mustard.
Patrick, you're not one of them vegan guys, are you?
Uh-oh.
Okay. Good.
Actually, let's go to Patrick first. Thank you for putting in some yeoman work tonight, my brother. I know you are under the weather, and we thank you for that. So, please, come on with it.
Speaking of Tony, are you here, Tony?
I'm here.
Okay. All right. Again, you know, in my viewing of different sports shows, which I must do as a producer, see what's happening. I happen to watch Tony Kornheiser, and I watch Wilbon. All right.
Oh, good God.
I enjoyed them. But they talked about, Thomas was talking about the Mets players being booed and their response to it. Tony Kornheiser gave the standard response. The players should do that. You know, the players they should acknowledge the fans, and the fact that you do that lets them know that they're not going to be particularly biased. It's not going to be long. It's not going to happen. And there should be ramifications of it. Came on. And as he began to talk, the television began to shake. So this is what he said. He says, Lindor and Bass, I don't blame them. I support them. I was rooting for them. He said, because these two guys, and like a lot of ball players, are sick and tired of fans coming out, dogging them, talking about them, cussing at them because they're not playing well, and then you're gonna respond to them like that? Yeah, go on and do it. He said, but the greater issue is this. The greater issue is that the response by the Nets is really about the owner, because he has all this money. He thinks he can go buy a championship, and he thought he could do it. Now he can't. So now he wants to piggyback on what the fans think about. He says, Wilma was going off. He says, how in the world you cannot follow fans about pins and players? You can't do that. He says, the team is what it is. It's all about the attitude. He says, I hope they keep on going back at him. So Cohen hasn't said, well, you do that because you're a Chicago fan. Yeah, that's right, and I'm still right. I don't blame the players for talking to some of them.
That's right. That's the truth.
I had to say that.
There you go. That works for me. Reggie, are you available? You finish your sandwich? Reggie, where you at? You better be making sandwiches for all of us, damn it.
And now you're drinking a cold one.
Yeah. Professor, come on with it. Throw something in the pot.
Well, first of all, I mentioned this a little earlier, but happy birthday to my big sister, Nora. She turned big 9-0 today.
All right. God bless.
We spoke earlier. She chewed me out as usual. Now I'm with her today. I started working on Black College Sports Encyclopedia, History of Men's Basketball, a couple of days ago.
Okay.
I got a few hundred of the profiles in. I still got to do some editing and all that kind of good stuff. But, you know, it's interesting how things are going because, you know, we've gone through the pandemic and all those kind of good things, and now we're at a stage where we got to say, okay, where do we go from here? Well,
right.
First and foremost, in the next 72 hours, well, a little more, well, 96 hours, we'll see if all that talk that has been coming out of one Mr. Sanders' mouth over the last
what?
Few months.
Uh-oh.
Now, he got his boys on the field now that he wanted so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gone beyond the point where we can let him just talk and run people down. Now he got to put up a shut up. Now,
yep.
I know he ain't going to shut up. I'm just waiting to see, you know, and because he, if you remember this time last week, all we heard was how the scratch was going to beat to me at. Well, officially, FAMU is in the track instead of the MEAC, but from which did they come? They came from the MEAC. So, you know, they still got some hold over. I want to see, just for GP, I want to see the Rattlers, and you know I don't like snakes, so I want to see the Rattlers put their feet figuratively right up the Tigers behind. Just far enough, so at least he'll be mumbling instead of being able to talk like he's been talking, because it ain't gonna fly. You can touch bases with us on the web at www.blackheritage.com. We have copies of the Sports Encyclopedia for Football are available.
There you go, my brother. www.blackheritagereview.com. Books, shirts, info. Any day is a good day to get some black history in your system. Big G, come on with it, baby.
Okay. September the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
We're last day for the Paralympics.
Okay.
I am very disgusted with it. NBC Broadcast Network. This is what I'm discussing with them.
Okay. Disgusting.
They broadcast one uno event per night, every night.
That's one you're saying, right?
Uno.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
And the reason, here's the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
Bubblegum China, yeah. has 89 total medals. Freeborn Bubblegum China have 152 medals.
Damn.
And they have both.
That's definitely more than that's definitely more than one.
The United States only has 25 gold medals.
That's
they
an
ass
whooping.
Fourth place. I won. That's four.
Mm-hmm. Tell him, LeBron.
Sounding great American there, Gary.
Chinese and Republic of China and the BDR PRC has changed their criteria to qualify for the and we have not done the same thing. So we're losing number in numbers. That's why every
You're actually doing a show, a live show.
Yes. All right. The Able Disabled Concert Series begins. Curtis versus
Mike.
Teddy Pink. Yes.
Hey, Mike, can I throw something up, Fred?
Yes, please.
He was talking about the upcoming game that Dion's going to have. You know, Dion and Nick Saban have a commercial together. You know, don't you?
There will not be any red, white on the field. And I can tell you up front, if he does step out there, Jake will set up and growl at him and make him run.
I heard that. There
mm-hmm.
you go.
Well,
Mike, right. Stay tuned.
Mike,
yes, sir.
Let me interject something real quick.
Please.
We get, you know, okay, you all know that this whole thing about Afghanistan and stuff, keep these soldiers
yep.
in your prayers. These cats are out of Afghanistan, but they ain't coming
yes, sir.
Home.
Mm-hmm.
And just for your information, when they said
mm-hmm.
they were going, they had long been gone.
Wow.
Well,
so especially
also that one very big girl from Afghanistan, the woman from Afghanistan who was doing a polo development game, she had to be
mm-hmm.
snuck out of the country. She had to be snuck out of the country to go to the Olympic Games.
Well, in light of what the professor said, there's definitely send some extra healing and prayers to the brothers that's out there scrapping, because we know more often than not, they get put in situations where everybody's full of shit and they got to do the dirty work to clean it up. And then somebody will smooth it over after the grunt has been done, as far as doing the grunt work to make sure that they can back their words up when they get in front of a microphone. So yes, bless the troops, make sure they get home safe, and thank you for putting foot to ass for us, because we know there's always some shit going on that you'll never hear the real story to. That's it. Let's go to T-Mac. T, throw something in the pot.
Washington Nationals Vice President Bob Boone, yeah, that Bob Boone, has informed the team that he will resign instead of complying with a COVID-19 vaccine mandate for all non-uniform employees, a source confirmed to ESPN on Wednesday. Boone, 73, has been in the organization since 2005 and served as a senior advisor to general manager Mike Rizzo.
Boone was assistant GM and player and vice president of player development from 2006 to 2013.
Okay.
With, in addition to the he's with the Washington Nationals. And in addition to Boone's resignation, two scouts will not be with the organization next season due to the vaccine policy. And the Nationals were one of the first teams in baseball to require vaccines for non-playing full-time employees, including coaches, executives, and staff. The policy went into effect August 12th, and employees needed to meet an August 26th deadline to provide proof of a first shot or apply for an exemption. We say all of that to basically say that here it comes.
Yep.
Here it comes. Because end of the day, you're going to see why is so-and-so not here? Or why is so-and-so not there? Or why is this guy whatever? It's not just out there in the regular world with the crazies. You know, of course, your favorite quarterback and his, Mr. Cousins, I believe still has not gotten his vaccine. But this is going to be, look, this is going to be an ongoing story all year. Now in the NBA, there's been a few teams that have come out and say, you don't vax, you're not going to be around. And apparently, Washington, who I guess like as the story said, they were ahead of the game. Mm-hmm. They were ahead of the game in a sense on this, but this is just the beginning, y'all. And it's kind of crazy, but it's also kind of sad that we're going to learn more about these folks by their actions. Than anything else, because
you're
again,
right.
I'm not trying to make a political statement here, but here's the thing: even if you don't want to get the vaccine, shouldn't you at least be considerate of other folks that do?
Yes. There you go.
Because at the end of the day, Democrat, Republican, Episcopalian.
Martians.
You should care about the fellow man, but the
don't forget the Martians.
Everybody, you know, everybody, all of a sudden, everybody wants to, you know, have the right to be an asshole.
Exactly.
We will gladly give you full asshole privileges. You're just gonna have to do it by yourself.
Exactly. You know, we don't want any group action going on. If you want singular incidences of assholery or dumb fuckery, please, let's feel free to do so. Just do them on your own time.
I got one word for Bob Boone.
Exactly. That is what's going to happen.
Now, Mike, ironically.
In the team, who's going to know anyway?
That's true. By the way, Mike, I didn't. The story mentions that his son, the manager of the Yankees for now, he has gotten vaccinated. So apparently, Mike, the needle does fall from the tree.
Yeah, you know that's right. Well,
what happened was 3 years ago, it became a political statement. And once it became a political statement, all bets are off because
you're right.
Had three governors, not one, not two, but three governors.
Yes. Well, just the facts, man. Well, you know, ultimately, it's all fun and games until somebody dies. And that's what's going to happen, I fear. strongly.
Look. If you still think that it's a hoax, talk to one of the family members. Talk to the family members of the folks who lost somebody.
My sister could still be alive today if she had the vaccine.
My mother would still be alive if it wasn't a vaccine.
Yeah, you're right.
I got most of the numbers, Klaus.
We know 600,000 dead folks can't be wrong. Sadly, that's what it's going to come back to. Whether they can do this before they make their bank is the other question, because that's what the NFL was gambling on, literally. And they got it. They got through. They got their TV money. They got everything because they pushed it through. We'll see what happens next.
Mike, they're going to make bank.
You know they're going to make bank.
Look. If preseason is any indication, you know, put it this way.
They're itching.
I'm preparing all of you for no sleep tonight. Imagine Roger Goodell naked going down Park Avenue doing the cabbage patch.
Oh my God!
I warned you. I could have just said it without giving, you know, parental guidance warning, but I warned you.
That sound you just heard was the breaking and smashing of a million piggy banks, because motherfuckers will be breaking all those little piggies to go into their bank and bet on sports.
And think about it, Mike. Now, I think, like all of us, we actually thought that the NFL was starting tomorrow night. They're starting next Thursday, boys and girls.
They're so
confident or whatever, they are literally taking a week off so they can work the next, the next 23 weeks.
That's a vulgar display of power, like Pantera.
Yes,
that's a vulgar display of power. They know you're going to be
Mike,
mine.
Mike, is it more vulgar than Roger doing his thing down Park Avenue?
Yeah, you're right. That definitely is a 2 o'clock in the morning vision that I don't want to cotton up to no time soon.
I've already got my Three Stooges tape all set, so I'm good.
So as we close tonight, tomorrow we will be on another Blu-ray Iced Tea Groove, 8 o'clock Eastern. For now, we want to end with a couple of guest editorial speakers in the forms of Ms. Laverne Baker and Mr. Jackie Wilson.
Think Twice, version X.
Your dress, I might look, Jack.
That's all right, just lick it.
You know how to do that, don't you?
I don't want no more of your reefer.
You know how to eat ice cream?
And your cookies.
You eat ice cream?
No, not that kind.
Chocolate? Chocolate chicken? All right.
Ain't love grand. Everybody have a good night. Have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow 8 o'clock Eastern with another Blueberry Tea Groove for all of us here at the tree. Good night.